The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We have a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be interviewing the Consul General's office from serving the State of Israel. And we'll be talking about, of course, what's going on in Israel. And our hearts and prayers go out to everybody in that area. We have a wonderful assortment of Jewish music. Thank you so much for your inquiries and requests. The portion of the week is the portion of Matos, which is going to be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 29. A very interesting story at the end. This one I actually heard from the proponent in 1977, I want to say. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Security guards stopped a Palestinian car with two passengers carrying a bomb meant for a terror attack inside Israel. The security guards found a gas canister hooked up with electric wires to an explosive device. The driver admitted to planning a bombing. The suspects are in police custody. Hamas launched four missiles towards Jerusalem. The Iron Dome rockets intercepted two missiles. Five rockets were intercepted over Tel Aviv, and three were intercepted on their way to Haifa, 85 miles from Gaza. We're not talking firecrackers over here. The IDF struck over 1,000 targets since Operation Defensive Edge began last Monday night. Over 300 rockets were fired from Gaza during the same period. IDF forces killed at least two Palestinians trying to enter Israel from the sea. This was a second attack prevented by naval commandos. Israel, listen to this one, with all that's going on, Israel still provides 100 megawatts of electricity to Gaza daily. The Palestinian Authority owes Israel nearly $500 million in unpaid electric bills. Serious debate is ongoing in the Prime Minister's cabinet if Israel should cut off electricity, gas, and fuel to Gaza during the current escalation. Interesting one for this happening for once in a while. The UN is reporting that Israel Army alerted civilians ahead of time who were in buildings that the IDF planned to bomb in Gaza. At least 35 residential buildings were destroyed, including an attack in Khan Yunis that killed seven civilians, three of whom were children, and injuring another 25. In other news, Japan's Ministry of Economy, Trade, and Industry, Toshimitsu Motegi, arrived in Israel to sign an industrial research and development agreement with Israel, making Israel the first country with which Japan has such signed a research and development agreement. And finally, a riot outside the Diaspora Yeshiva on Jerusalem's Mount Zion was dispersed by a hot pot of chulent, Sabbath stew. Rioters happened last Shabbos, or actually yesterday, yes. Rioters threw rocks and other debris through the yeshiva windows, causing the unarmed yeshiva students to take action. The hot pot landed in the middle of the rioters. Calm has been restored to the area. We're now going to listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's recorded message about what's going on in Israel.
Hamas and other terrorist groups in Gaza are firing rockets on cities throughout the state of Israel, on Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Haifa, Beersheba, Sderot, and other cities. No country on earth would remain passive in the face of hundreds of rockets fired on its cities, and Israel is no exception. Today we expanded our operations against Hamas and the other terrorist groups in Gaza. We'll continue to protect our civilians against Hamas attacks on them. Now Hamas, by contrast, is deliberately putting Palestinian civilians into harm's way. It embeds its terrorists in hospitals, in schools, in mosques, apartment buildings throughout the Gaza Strip. Hamas is thus committing a double war crime. It targets Israeli civilians while hiding behind Palestinian civilians. This operation could take time. We're resolved to defend our families and our homes. Today I spoke with several world leaders. I appreciated their expressions of strong support for our right and our duty to defend ourselves. And this is what we'll continue to do.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have Maya Carmeli from the Israel Consul in Chicago, who is going to enlighten us and inform us as to what's going on in Israel as we speak. Hello, Maya. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure, and it's unfortunate that I seem to have representatives from the consul on when there's only times of consternation in Israel, and maybe we could make some sort of something that one day Israel will have something really happy to talk about. We can talk about that, too.
That's a good idea. We have a lot of good things to talk about. Let's reschedule another meeting for online to speak about something else.
Indeed. Okay, let's start way at the beginning. I'm talking about 3-4 years ago, there was something called, if I recall the correct name, Operation Cast Lead. And Operation Cast Lead was supposed to demilitarize Hamas to make it such that we wouldn't need an Operation Defensive Edge. What went wrong?
Okay, so first of all, the real beginning, if we want to go a little bit even further, is that we can go back to 2005, when Israel completely left the Gaza Strip and disengaged. Since 2005, there has been no Israeli presence or civilian or military in the Gaza Strip.
Right, and why did Israel leave Gaza?
Israel, you know, the disengagement in 2005 was a step that was taken unilaterally by Israel in pursuit of trying to reach a quiet to the area. We took our civilians and we took out settlements that were in the Gaza Strip. We took out the military presence in trying to really allow the Palestinians in Gaza to have governing and to really reach some kind of a peaceful solution.
And that didn't work.
It didn't work. Unfortunately, as you know, Hamas was elected as an organization to really be in charge in Gaza Strip. And Hamas, as we know, and here in the United States, is also regarded as a terrorist group. It's a terrorist organization. And the Hamas, ever since they took control in Gaza, they have chosen not to really keep a peace and quiet area with Israel. They launched rockets at civilian population in Israel since. And you're right, it was the Operation Cast Lead, and there was Operation Auxiliary Defense in 2012. And after that, we also reached to some kind of an agreement. And unfortunately, we're having the conversation again today.
Okay, so let's ask the question then. So what went wrong with Cast Lead and this other opposition that happened in 2012?
What went wrong is that even though we reached some kind of agreements to keep the area quiet, unfortunately Hamas and if you look at now, it didn't start just with the operation now, on the day that it started. It's not just the Operation Protective Edge. Israel started Operation Protective Edge after there have been rockets fired at civilian population again since June 12, actually. And this is the reason we're in an operation again. You cannot, even if you reach any agreements in the past, and even if there has been quiet time, right now the population of Israel, the civilian population, is under attack, is under fire, and Israel is forced, really, to go into Operation Protective Edge in order to protect its civilians.
Mm-hmm. Is all of this that's coming out from Gaza, is this in response, in conjunction, or despite of the abduction of the three teenagers and their murders coming out?
So actually, you're asking a very, very important question. Actually, the beginning of the rocket fire in Israel started on the day that the Israeli teenagers were abducted and murdered. There have been rockets fired in Israel the few months before also, but it started again on the day they were abducted, even before their bodies were recovered. So the attack from Hamas came in conjunction. It came at the same time. Israel has acted in restraint, really, and even last week, Prime Minister Netanyahu turned to the Hamas and said that quiet will be met by quiet. We didn't want to go into an operation such as this, but unfortunately, and you know right now that the population, the civilian population of Israel, is being targeted by rockets, so we did have to go into the operation.
Mm-hmm. White House Mideast Chief Philip Gordon spoke this week at a some sort of a press function and really came down very, very hard in terminology, which was very much anti-Israel, placing full blame for what's going on in Israel. What is the Israel's response been to such criticism by the world? Even though we heard Mr. Netanyahu say world leaders are with him.
And it's true. World leaders are with him. And if you listen to the statement of Secretary of State Kerry, and if you listen to the conversation that Prime Minister Netanyahu had with President Obama, and you read what they have discussed, there is a support for Israel to defend its citizens. And criticism, there could be always criticism, and I believe that everybody wants to have a peaceful resolution. Nobody wants escalations of violence. However, let me ask you this. Will America stand silent if Washington or New York were under attack of rocket fire? And just to put it in terms that for your listeners, two-thirds of the Israeli population right now is under fire. 6 million of its citizens has to go to bomb shelters. And that correlates to about 200 million of American citizens. So if America was under rocket fire, I don't believe that neither the administration or Congress, Senate, everybody would have been believed in the right to protect its citizens. And I think the American public as well would have been requesting that.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, our guest is Meir Carmeli from the Israel Consul office in Chicago, which serves the Midwest, which Detroit happens to be part of. Let's extrapolate that last thing that you just said, Maya. Would it be that Washington was under siege? The response from the United States would be swift and severe, without regard to casualties, collateral damage, hospitals being blown up. Yet we don't see that the Israelis are doing that.
I think that this is a very sensitive issue, and I think that Israel is really, and I think this is something that we can be proud of, that we are trying to really act in as much restraint as possible. We're dealing with a very, very, very delicate situation. We really are trying to deal with a terror organization that is operating from a very highly condensed civilian population. What happens is that all the rocket launchers and everything is embedded within civilian population. It means that it's next to hospitals, it's next to schools, and Israel is trying to really act in a surgical way to try to harm only the terrorist launchers. Of course, that what happens is because of the situation that there are people who come into harm's way, but Israel is trying to do its utmost not to harm civilians. And that means dropping out flyers, it means making phone calls, means sending text messages, trying to warn the civilians of Gaza whenever we're striking to try to prevent any civilians from being hurt. And unfortunately, and I'm really saying it with all the it's very, very sad. Every civilian that is being hurt is a tragedy. But I don't know if you heard the comment that was made by the Interior Office of Hamas yesterday. Are you familiar with that? So they actually called to their the Interior Minister of Hamas actually called its citizens not to leave their homes when they hear those warning calls. They actually called their civilians to be human shields. And with that, there is nothing you can do except having a civilian population in harm's way if they're putting them in harm's way. We're trying to do our utmost not to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Yet yesterday on CBS News, what did we hear? 49 people were killed in Gaza, and the Hamas, with all the rockets, didn't kill anybody. So it seems like, as far as media is going, Israel's still not doing well with media and public relations.
And you know, I saw some other avenues that did showcase exactly the same thing as I was just saying, that they showed the problem of Hamas using their civilians as human shields. And I think this is the main issue. When we hear the alarms, where our population, I told you we have 6 million bomb shelters, people are running to seek hide, to hide, and running to hide and to seek shelter. And if you were going to the Hamas, there was an article of someone getting the call and actually calling for more people to come to the house because they thought they wouldn't be attacked or anything, but they're actually using their civilians. And I think that this is the very big tragedy of this issue, the fact that Hamas is targeting both civilian populations, the Israeli civilian population and its own civilian population, by using them as human shields.
Mm-hmm. And people, the Gazans are putting up with this.
I have to say I have very deep sympathies. I feel that their population and I think that in other operations in the past we also saw them. It's some of them are really collaborating and being those are volunteering to be those human shields, but many of the population there is you can say even being taken hostage by Hamas, because they're by embedding those launchers within civilian population, Israel has to strike back to protect its own civilian population. So they're actually taken hostage, and they're actually the ones that are in danger as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're just tuning in, we were talking with Maya Carmeli from the Israel Consul in Chicago, serving the United States Midwest. We reported on the news that with all what's going on, Israel is still supplying Gaza electricity, gas, fuel, humanitarian aid, medicine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It seems very strange that on one hand, you're trying to take out the infrastructure. On the other hand, you're supporting and building up the infrastructure.
And, you know, this brings up a very important point. It's not that we're supporting the infrastructure, but as I mentioned in the last section, the population of Gaza, the civilians, are not our targets. We do not want to hurt civilians. And there is no way that Israel, as a democracy, as a modern country, will use its force against civilian population. They won't target civilian population, meaning that by supplying gas, by supplying the merchandise that is needed, we're doing everything in our power to still continue to provide the humanitarian needs of the Gazan people, of the Palestinian people in Gaza. We do not want the civilians to be harmed.
Okay.
With that, we will target the launchers.
Okay, now let me ask you if you know some demographics. What's the population of Gaza?
Well, the population in Gaza, I don't have the exact number right now, but it's, I think, about 1.5 million.
1.5 million, and this is in an area pretty much the size of Detroit. Gaza is 140 square miles. Detroit is 139 square miles. I don't know if you knew that. But
no, thank you.
So that gives people a perspective as to what kind of area we're talking about. What percentage of the population, then, of this 1.5 million, are targets by the Israelis and the IDF?
I don't think that the question should be what part of the population is, because it's very difficult to know who associates himself with Hamas and which parts of the population. It's where are the locations or how many targets are considered. I can tell you from what the IDF spokesman said, that they have targeted approximately 210 sites now in Gaza Strip that are that really has the long range rockets launchers and have smuggling tunnels, and this is important point, that they have smuggling tunnels and they smuggle the weapons and they smuggle the rockets into Gaza. The targets are not, I wouldn't say that the targets are people or the population. The targets are really what possesses the danger to the Israeli community, which are all those launchers and the different places where they fire at us from.
Okay, so then let's say, as far as I got, the number I got was 40,000 miluim, 40,000 reserve troops
mm-hmm.
are in poise, they're being mobilized to go into Gaza. If you put 40,000 troops into Detroit, it would take up a whole lot of room with all of the tanks and whatnot. I'm sorry?
So first of all, you are right. Israel has drafted 40,000 of the reserve, and 20,000 of them have been called up. But it's again, right now, it's even if there will be ground action, which is still not on its way, it doesn't mean that everybody will be within. Some of those reservants are for homeland command. Some of them, because as we said, our population is under attack, so they're not all are supposed to march into Gaza, but definitely Israel is taking a measure to be prepared for any condition that might be necessary.
Mm-hmm. So my question then is, if Israel does send in ground forces, when will their mission be complete? What is the goal at this time?
So right now, as of now, the main goal of Israel is to end the rocket attack. And a military option is for the decision makers to make, and also what will be the stopping point will be for the decision makers to make. What's important for us right now is to get our population, the civilian population, safe and to really stop the rocket attack.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the Israeli government realize that you're just putting yourself back in the same cycle as what's been going on since 2005? Today we'll be good. Hamas says, okay, now we'll be good boys, and then please leave us alone. And then as soon as Israel turns it back, they start firing rockets again, and it slowly and slowly, slowly escalates until we're back to rockets over Jerusalem.
Well, you know, Israel has conducted in different ways throughout between the different operations. Israel is always trying to seek peaceful resolutions with the Palestinians. The Hamas is a terror organization, and this is why Israel, in the recent reconciliation agreement that has been between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, has called the Palestinian Authority and Mahmoud Abbas to really not be in agreement with Hamas, because Hamas calls to the destruction of the state of Israel. It is a very sensitive situation, and yes, we are trying to find the best way to find a way to resolve it. With that said, right now we don't have any option but to protect our citizens, and we're always seeking a way to find a solution to the situation.
Okay. Now, I saw on that very authoritative source of information known as Facebook that, I'm saying that facetiously, of course, that if Israel does do a ground operation and goes into Israel, that the next step would be a re-annexation of Gaza. Any truth to that, Maya Carmeli?
Well, as I mentioned before, as of right now, the goal of this operation is to restore the quiet to the Israeli population. As you probably know from any conflict in the past, none of us is a prophet, and you never know what the decision makers will decide. But as of now, I have not heard those comments, and I cannot. And of course, because of that, I cannot really react to them.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Any news or any movements since this whole thing came down that we seem to have, what fell off the front page was Israel looking for the three murderers of the three teenagers who were killed?
Yeah, Israel is still, of course, looking for the to seek the justice and to find the murderers of those murderers, and those murderers are affiliated with Hamas. We did identify who they were, and Israel is in pursuit of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you have still relatives in Israel.
Yes, I do.
In what city, may I ask?
Ramat Gan.
Ramat
Gan. Close to Tel Aviv.
Right. Okay. I'm very familiar with it. It's a very nice suburb. I had a daughter who was in Herzliya for 4 years, and she said when anything was happening, like in Gaza, so people in the street in Tel Aviv were very nonchalant about it, and they went on their way, and they were sitting in the park and going to concerts and drinking lattes and whatnot. What's the man on the street in Ramat Gan saying? No.
Well, first of all, you're right. Your daughter was right. It's not that people were very nonchalant. They didn't care. They really cared. But, they were dealing with the situation as it was. But now, when 6 million of Israel is really under fire, my family also heard alarms. They also had to go to a safe room. It is a lot of grave concern, and as I'm sure that any of your listeners, if they had any of their families need to seek cover and hearing alarms, they wouldn't want to be in that position. But I have to say that the population of Israel is keeping calm and trying to really face this challenge. And again, everything that we're looking for is to find a peaceful resolution at the end of the day for our civilians and for the civilians in Gaza.
Mm-hmm. One indication would be is that the entertainment, I'm not sure what the seasons are in, the sports season are in Israel. Are they playing soccer now? Are they playing Maccabi basketball? What are they playing? And are they still going to sporting events, and still are they going to rock concerts and stadiums?
First of all, life in Israel do go on, and I speak with my family, and life goes on. People are still going out, but they're more concerned. They're making sure to know where to go if there will be an alarm. But life goes on. People go to work. People go to concerts. It's still summertime in Israel, but of course that it's a different reality now than it's not exactly the same.
Understood. Okay, that's going to do it. Our guest has been Meir Carmeli from the Israel Consul General Office in Chicago, serving the Midwest. We want to thank you so much for coming on. And next time, I hope we call about good news.
Thank you very much, and I hope so too.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968. MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. I thought it would be very appropriate if we had, as the first song in our musical interlude, something which was very supportive of Israel by nature. So here, for your listening pleasure, is Sam Glazer, Dancing in Jerusalem.
Heart's desire, take you to the place you want to go. Keep dreaming of the land of your history, and you walk in the streets before you know. On wings of eagles they took to the sky, not sure how this magic carpet would fly. Then cries of joy at the first shalom, 50,000 Yemenites coming home.
My heart is dancing in Jerusalem. My heart is dancing in Jerusalem. My heart is dancing in Jerusalem. My heart is dancing in Jerusalem.
Next came Ezra and Nehemiah, redeeming our brothers of Babylon. 2,000 years and it shook of Baghdad, soon every last soul would come along. Though it seemed impossible to achieve, Morocco's Jews were the next to leave. They're a pillar of the Temple of Solomon. Hear the sound of French ringing through Zion.
My heart is dancing in Jerusalem. My heart is dancing in Jerusalem.
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 Bilirushalayim ircha, berachamim tashuv, vehetishkon behetocha, kasher tiparta.
To Israel and watched in awe from the tribe of Dan in Ethiopia. Slipping through the border of the Sudan, they crossed the desert to reach their land. We marched for the rights of refused Nikim to help them realize their Aliyah dream. After 70 years of a living hell, see the celebration when that curtain fell.
My heart is dancing in Jerusalem. My heart is dancing in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
My heart is dancing in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
My heart is dancing in Jerusalem.
Soon we'll be dancing in Jerusalem. The whole world dancing in Jerusalem.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We got an email on www.rabbifinman.com by a woman who identifies herself as Anne. She says she lives in Hechtman Hall up in West Bloomfield on JCC campus and listens to the show regularly and said that she loves this klezmer tune called Mazurka. And could I play a mazurka? So for you and everybody else who wants to listen, this is Joria Fieldman playing the mazurka.
Thank you. The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Schultzman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have coming up next, this is Laser Lloyd, who was in Detroit 2 weeks ago, I believe, maybe 3 weeks ago, who's now back in Israel. And this week composed a piece while sitting in a bomb shelter. It's called The Bomb Shelter Blues. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Hey, Schulfenman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. The portion of this week, which we will be reading in the synagogue, is Matos. It's found in chapter 29 and following in the book of Numbers. This Tuesday day begins the what's known as the 3 weeks in English, and Hebrew is known as Bein HaMatzarim, which means the time between the straits. Straits as in S-T-R-A-I-T-S. starting with the fast of the 17th of Tammuz and concluding with the fast of the 9th of Av. It is a period which mourns the destruction of the temple. And next week's show, we will be featuring a cappella music for a couple of weeks. Jews during this time refrain from getting married, cutting their hair, buying new clothes, making additions to their houses that are just for niceties, engaging in kinds of luxury type things. So because it is a time when we're thinking about our loss in not having a temple. So that's this, and we'll talk about more of that next week with the help of the Almighty. In the portion, one of the major focuses of the portion, Matos, is the war against the Midianites. Now, you may recall from 2 weeks ago and the last week, the Jews had a lot of problems with these Midianites. They just came and attacked the Jews, and they were vicious, and for no reason, the Jews weren't going anywhere near Midian. In this week's portion, Moshe was instructed by the Almighty to choose 1,000 soldiers from each tribe, including the tribe of Levi, which Levi was generally exempted from the army service, being that their job was to take care of the temple. They're kind of like the rabbis. They had these clerical discounts. And even though this was the tribe of Joseph, as opposed to, say, the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh, so it was 12,000 troops total that were sent to wipe out, to wage war against the Midianites. I would like to talk a little politics, and then I'm going to talk a little religion. Okay? What was it that the Jews were commanded to do? They were commanded to take care of the Midianites in such a way, in such a manner, that the Jewish people were never bothered by the Midianites ever again. This was a one-time deal. They started up. The Midianites put their noses where it didn't belong, and the Jewish people came down heavy. And they did what they needed to do, because what were they trying to do was to preserve peace. That's what their mission was. We are going, it may sound oxymoronic, but we are going to war to preserve peace, because the alternative was, if they didn't conduct themselves in such a way, then sometime in the amorphous, nebulous future, they were going to have to deal with the Midianites again. And that would create more strife and more battles. So like this, that they took care of the problem, pardon the expression, once and for all, they never had to worry about it ever again. This is where I was going with my line of questioning to the Israel Council General, is you just keep on, we've been here before. We were here, the Jewish Hour was on air in 2005, and we did have somebody on in 2005, and we did have somebody in 2010, and we did have somebody in 2012, and we did have somebody in 2014. And we keep revisiting the same thing over and over and over. And it took a lot of resolve on the part of the Israelis to do what needed to be done so we wouldn't have to do this. It's unfortunate that this is what had to be done, the way in which to eradicate this problem, because we don't want our children having to sit in bomb shelters and sing songs like the Bomb Shelter Blues. The Jews did it then. They need to do it now. But I'm a theologian. We are told that we've got wars going on inside of us, and we need to do the same thing as well. What's the war? The war, the raging war that's going on is, do we do the right thing or we do the wrong thing? And the wrong thing always seems to present itself as the path of least resistance. But the wrong thing inevitably winds up being either illegal, immoral, fattening, or whatever else you don't want happening. And it turns out to be the wrong thing. What is it that we have to do? The expression hechaltzu mi'itachem. The word chalatz means to like take off. Like a chalitza means to take off a shoe. Hechaltzu, take it off. Get it all out there. Meaning don't overindulge and say, I got it out of my system, because that just means as soon as you get it out of your system, you get more of it in your system. But it means, understand, what does it mean to really make peace with yourself? Everybody would like to say, you know, I'm at peace with myself. And to understand that, when is it that you can let your guard down? When you're having your own internal struggles? Never. Since Adam ate that piece of fruit, people have had internal struggles. It just comes with the deal. Until then, Adam had no worries. Everything was good. Takes a bite out of a piece of fruit, and suddenly, oh man, he's on the outside looking in. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. So what we have to do is keep our guard up. And that then becomes the true peace. A strong offense is the best defense. I'm not exactly sure how that expression goes. That if we take the initiative and we show ourselves and understand that I don't want to take the path of least resistance. I know it is the path of least resistance. But I know traveling that path ultimately is not going to be the good thing. So why would anybody do that? Take the high road. Do it that way. Be in a position where you're sending yourself out. You're hechaltzu. You're taking off, casting out all that schmutz. Just jettison the flotsam and jetson. And then the person has inner peace. And I recommend just try it a little bit. Because then what happens is a person realizes, you know, it's really so much easier like this. If I didn't indulge myself at that banquet, restaurant, dinner, whatever, now I don't have to worry about those 5 pounds that I gained. And I feel, not only that, I feel much better, because what happens is when a person does gain the 5 pounds, so now he has to lose the 5 pounds. So really what's happening is there's a 10-pound swing over there. 5 pounds up, 5 pounds down. It's a 10-pound swing. Like this, the person isn't playing games with those 10 pounds. Like this, the person has more important things to deal with. The person can stay focused and maintain that inner peace. And it comes from really being hawkish, being a hard nose on yourself. But to do it in such a way, knowing and staying focused that, why am I doing this? The end result is absolute peace. We've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with the most awesome story you have ever heard. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? I really do love it when people contact me. It makes my day. You want to make my day? Okay. I look at those letters coming in on the inbox, and I just look at them, and I feel just like Clint Eastwood saying, make my day. And I open them up, and they make my day. Yes, indeedy. You want to make my day? rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman, right there on the front page is the contact link. You write me an email, comes right to my my inbox. I get it in less than 2 seconds after you send it. Everybody is good. I read it. I'm happy. Regardless of what it says, and the letters that I like the most are the ones that say, Rabbi Finman, you didn't do this right. Or Rabbi Finman, you could do this better, because then I have a better radio show, and it's all thanks to listeners like you. What else is on rabbifinman.com? Well, you'll find the E-Parsha, Hasidic U Story, and U Parsha, which are insights into the portion of the week, holidays, Hasidic stories, and other media other than this one, because we mean to entertain and to inform you and educate you. You'll also find there's a classes page, which is, check those out. And these are classes which I've recorded over the years and are continually posting to the website. And of course, the very important donations page. It is the middle of July. We're still working. We're still working on June. I know, people, summertime. Yes, your thoughts are elsewhere. But you're listening. I know you're listening, because how do you know what I'm saying if you're not listening? So of course you're listening. So if you can listen to me this much, listen to me right now. Go to the computer, go to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page, click on a number, or put your own number in. They're all good. Every number is a valid number. Click donate. It's all through PayPal, all very safe, secure. Don't like doing PayPal? No problem. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your donation is tax deductible, as The Jewish Hour is part of a 501(c) corporation, which means a nonprofit. It is also looked upon as the eyes of the Almighty as counting towards your tithe, because everybody needs to give at least 10% of their income away to good causes. And I can sincerely warn you that if you don't give it to a good cause, then the Almighty is going to see to it that it goes to some other cause. So you choose the cause that it should go to, rather than having the Almighty arbitrarily decide, like a dentist bill or brake lines that need to be replaced. Go do it today, and you'll be happy. I'll be happy. The other thousands of listeners that listen on the radio and online and on podcast will all be happy, and we'll live all happily ever after. I heard this story in 1977 from the protagonist of the story, whose name was Rabbi Beryl Baumgarten. He was the Lubavitcher Rebbe's first shliach to South America. I believe he was the second shliach behind Mechuyel Lipsker, of blessed memory, who was sent to North Africa. So he put himself up in Brazil first. I believe once he got Brazil set up and gave it over to Rabbi Alperin, then he moved to Argentina, which is where the story took place. And then he gave it over to, the name escapes me right now, Rabbi Greenwald. And then he moved to Caracas, which unfortunately he passed on, and that became the turf of Rabbi Perman. And South American Jewry is now well represented with Chabad houses in every area where there are Jews. Thanks, and much of that is thanks to Rabbi Beryl Baumgarten. He was riding across a ferry, across a river, and he was in his car. He was standing in a boat, and some people were talking about something he didn't want to hear. And he turned to them and said, "Why are you talking about this?" And they said, "You don't have to be here." So he was right. He didn't have to be there. So he put himself into his car. Something happened, and the boat like hit something or came to a stop, and his car slid into the water. And he said he tried to push open the door, but you know, air pressure couldn't, the water pressure. Suddenly he felt like a hand grabbing him and schlepping him out of the water. Now, he doesn't know how to swim. He felt himself being propelled up in the air. And it says, the way he told me, he says the water pressure was so great that he flew up in the air and then flew down back into the water, then came up, and this happened like three times. But he doesn't remember any of that. He said when he came to, He said the first thing that he asked him when they pulled him out of the water, because he didn't know how to swim, and he just like had to grab onto something, and the life preserver was too big because he was almost close to 300 pounds. The first thing he asked for was his yarmulke, his head covering. So anyway, it was an amazing story, and we want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Have an easy fast on Tuesday. It's from dawn until dusk on Tuesday morning until Tuesday night. We hope to see you again back next week. Take care.